I can guess you're about to ask him how he came to have such an unusual name, weren't you, Ryan? Well, truth is, that son of a bitch don't know.
Gooseneck ignored the Baron, simply moving a half step to one side, the hooded eyes watching Ryan with the unmistakable intensity of a serious traveling killer. On his left hip was a Luna 300 target pistol, a single-shot 22 caliber gun with an 11-inch barrel and delicately adjustable sights. It was a specialist's weapon. Balancing it on the right side was a powerful double-action Walther P-88 automatic, holding 15 9mm rounds in the magazine. And, Ryan figured, a 16th round always slotted ready in the chamber. 20 Gooseneck was very dangerous.
And this fine woman...
Hold on a moment, wizard.
Ryan noted the complete lack of respect in the way the pale man spoke to the ruler of Yumaville, which was interesting.
What, Jim?
We know this outlander's name. How about us hearing the names of all his party?
Oh, they're just actors. I know who they are. Rest doesn't matter. You'll see them tomorrow night when they show us what they can do. They couldn't do a play of any of the great Randolph Scott vids, could they?
I don't know, Baron. I'll ask.
I know you.
Maybe. I've been around.
One-eyed man, carrying a good blaster with a look that shows he can use it, has used it. Where have I seen you?
Remembering a gesture from the vid they just watched, Ryan hitched a thumb to the north, then again to the south, and shrugged.
Any place, Jennison. Any place at all.
You ever ride with a traitor?
No. I heard of him. Had some war wags up in the darks.
And around.
Rode with a Folsom?
Yeah, Marsh Folsom.
Didn't he get chilled by the Magus? The Warlock? Some name like that?
I heard he got chilled by Gert Wolfram, that blubbery freak show guy. Claimed he discovered stickies. But you never met this traitor, is that right?
Right.
And you never met anyone called... Shit, no. Let it lie.
Ryan, allow me to introduce you to the lady of the party. Rena Miller.
You're asking yourself a question, Carter. All men do. Answer's always no. Almost always. Been watching you. Could be that the answer might, just might, be yes. If you want to ask it.
Rena Miller was something else. She was close to 6 feet, with the blackest hair that Ryan had ever seen, a tumbling mane of silken midnight that fell almost to her waist, with a sheen that seemed to come from within. Her eyes were close to gold, flecked with tiny motes of silver. She wore a black leather jacket over cream denim pants, tucked into black combat boots laced nearly to the knee. Rena was wearing a nickel-finished Colt Cobra and a shoulder holster. Ryan nodded to her, unable to think of anything to say. The cinema suddenly felt extremely cold, and he wanted to get back to the others. He knew that he was in the presence of 5 seriously and competently evil bastards, and he'd realized how difficult his mission was going to be. No small task. No small task at all. The toy motorbike dated from well before the long winters. It bore a maker's name in Germany, and it was made from fragile tin. Baron Alfred Nelson had wound it carefully with a flat key, turning a tiny knob between the handlebars to move a pointer on a dial, controlling what figures the blank-faced rider would execute.
A double circle, Dean, like the number 8.
I like the one when the two-wheeled wag spins around and around.
They were kneeling together in a book-lined room close to the Baron's own living quarters. The floor was rectangular blocks of polished sycamore, set in a diamond pattern. Nelson had laid his saber on a semi-circular table beneath an oil painting of a tastefully ragged boy tending sheep by a gentle stream. The yellow glow from the oil lamps reflected off the hilt of the saber. A gilt clock beneath a glass dome showed it was 8 o'clock.
We'll do that one next. Have to remove the back wheel for that, Dean.
I know.
The toy whizzed around in its figure eight, the rider leaning over at a dangerously realistic angle. Logs of sweet applewood crackled and spat in the hearth, behind the black mesh of the wrought iron fire guard. On a larger table, there rested the remains of a meal that the Baron and the Chout had eaten together an hour earlier. Christie's first reaction when Coburn brought the news that Baron Alfred Nelson desired to dine with Dean Cawdor was to refuse. But Mildred pointed out to her the danger of such a denial.
If he wanted to whack us all, then he could have done it by now.
It's true. Just that he misses his son Zeeb more than you can imagine. Wants the lad's company. The Baron's got some real old, rare toys up there.
I couldn't give a whistle up a pig's ass.
Dean, Rick Coburn's done nothing for you to be so rude.
I don't mind.
Sorry, but I don't like toys. Kitty shit.
You might like these.
The meal had begun with a soup, rich and thick, with great chunks of meat and vegetables. Some crusty bread went with it. The Baron had been very careful not to press the young boy with too much conversation too quickly. There'd been some trout, boneless, in thin smoked strips for the second course, and then a game pie with creamed potatoes, carrots, and mushrooms. By then, Dean had been eased into talking more about himself, about his mother, the way he'd been found by his father after the long empty years. But he was streetwise enough not to give away anything of any importance to his host. The last course was delicious pieces of meringue, crispy and light, floating in a lake of rich golden custard.
Sure you don't want some of this wine?
No, thanks.
Good white Zinfandel, light and fresh.
I'm happy with the milk, thanks.
Dean had drunk alcohol enough times in his 11 years to know that it was a dangerous liquid. His mother, Sharona, had warned him to be careful not to allow the thief into his mouth that it would try to rob him of his brains. He'd always remembered that. He had been nervous about the solitary evening with the towering man. The frail old lady that he knew was Nelson's mother had looked in on them around the middle of the meat pie. She'd sat in a deep brocaded armchair and said nothing. Then she started crying silently and left as mysteriously as she'd come. Alfred Nelson had ignored her. After the meal, there had come the revelation of the toys. Nelson had gone across to a huge cupboard that dominated one corner of the room.
This is where I kept everything for Zeeb to play with.
There was an ancient padlock holding the closet shut. It had a faint green patina of age, and Nelson opened it with a key selected from a ring he wore at his waist. Dean had gasped when he saw the treasure house revealed inside. His childhood had been notably lacking in toys, and abundant with caution and death. But he was still boy enough to boggle at the cornucopia of wondrous goodies. Everything was neatly stored and packaged. Soldiers made from wood and lead and plastic wore uniforms from all ages and every country in the world. So it seemed to Dean as the Baron ran a finger along the rows.
Zouaves from far off Dahomey and the French Foreign Legion. Grenadiers from Waterloo and the wily Pathan out of the Khyber Pass. Tennessee Volunteers and the Iron Brigade. Minutemen from Lexington and Rangers from Nam.
There was a wooden fortress that Nelson said doubled up for fighting against the cunning, veiled Tuareg in the desert and against the Sioux in the Black Hills. On higher shelves, there were several sets of model trains and racing wags in bright colors.
Might get these out tomorrow or the next day. Takes time to set the track and rails for them. Plenty of time. Your father's been gone 3 days. Still got 7 more to go.
Is that a war wag up there?
Dean pointed at a camouflaged armored vehicle with a long gun sticking from the turret.
Main battle tank. The M1 Abrams. 105mm cannon.
Does it work?
No, afraid not, Dean. Used to be able to control it with some kind of wireless system. Never got it to work. Old skills they had before Skydark.
Alfred had poured himself another large goblet of the pale pink wine, draining it almost without noticing. That was when he'd produced the stunt motorcyclist from a torn box on the third shelf, handling it as though it were the Holy Grail. Dean had loved it, entranced by the mechanical cunning of the old toy. Finally, the Baron had stooped clumsily, swaying and nearly falling. He picked up the bike and replaced it in the closet, fumbling to snap the padlock shut.
I'll do it.
Think I'm drunk, do you, Zeeb?
I'm not Zeeb.
Not Zeeb? Of course not.
Dean.
I know.
You sent my father off on a dangerous mission 3 days ago.
I know that too, boy. Oh, blast it, it's empty.
Should I call for some more, Baron?
No. Had enough for tonight. Enough of you, Zeeb. No!
Want me to go?
Yes, I want you to... No, I don't want you to go, boy. Don't want you to ever go. Want you to stay. Be my little boy. Be Zeeb all over again for me.
Can't be what I'm not.
So wise. So young, Dean.
I think I...